come to that level, Lord, as we come up further with you. Oh, Father God, we just want to thank you for causing us to function in that area. Lord, that your will be done and we'll be able to finish well and do that which you have called us to do. We will not run in any other person's track, but that which you have aligned us and you have implanted in us to do. We'll be able to build, we'll be able to plant in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And finally, even in part of that, you know, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, which we belong, there is always war, you know, against that. But the Lord has told us not to be afraid, you know, because he's made us fortified city, a wall like a bronze wall, a pillar of iron. We are pillars, and so there will be no need, because there are thrones, there are altars, and this, you know, things that we always fight against. But God said he is always with us. So let God give us boldness, that we'll receive boldness and we'll be able to stand against the kingdom of darkness and be able to function and operate and uproot and then to build. Let us pray for strength even as we come and as we hear the teaching. The Lord will cause us to be fulfilling that. Let's begin to pray. Father, we just want to thank you again and again for the teachings that is going to come up, O Lord, and that you will, you know, help us, you know, fortify us, O God, and equip us even as we have come to be equipped, Lord, that we will be able to function fully and to know, O God, the things that you have called us to do. And Father, even as we come to stand against the kingdom of darkness, we ask, O Lord, that you will be glorified in us. We bless you, our Father. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we have prepared our hearts and minds to receive, we're going to invite Brother Abraham John to come up and give the word to the congregation. Let us welcome with a hearty amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. How many of you are happy this morning? How many of you had a good sleep? Some of you know, my roommate was snoring, no? So excited to be here. What an honor and privilege to be back at ASLPN and with my family. I want to thank God for Pastors Obi and Kasaya and Mama Ebele and John Peter and all the distinguished guests here. I'm so blessed to be here. I don't see very many of the people, but I believe they are on their way. So Pastor Obi has requested me to teach, not just preach, but to break it down what God has been planning since the beginning, what he's been trying to accomplish on this earth, and we are part of God's dream. If you have a pen and paper, I encourage you to take it and take some notes if you can. Sometime, if the Holy Spirit leads me to go on preaching, I will go. But if you let me teach, I just flow with the Holy Spirit. So just say this after me. I am part of God's dream. Our Jehovah God, he has a dream. Do you know what his dream is? How many of you know what his dream is from the beginning? Amen. His dream is for his kingdom to come on this earth and to his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is his dream. Amen. If we are going to move forward, we have to establish the foundation right. If the foundation is not right, nothing else can be built. Amen? So we have to understand what God has been planning since the beginning of time for us, through us, and for this earth. So God's plan is for his kingdom to come. Because that is the nature of kings. Kings always want to extend their territory, their kingdom, to new places. If you're a man, you will know what I'm talking about. It is the nature of God and the image of God in us. Whatever we do, we want to grow. We want to expand. We want to establish. We want to build something. It is in the instinct of every human being. Somebody say amen. And it is the nature of woman to be a part of such a man who's establishing something, who's building something, he's going somewhere. Because woman was created to help man to establish God's kingdom on the earth. Please pay attention, amen. If you are going to move forward in the season that we are right now entering, we are in a new season. There's a shift happening in the body of Christ. We have been through many movement. Right now, we are in the kingdom movement. We had healing movement, prophetic movement. We have prosperity movement, faith movement, all kinds of movement. We are in the midst of kingdom movement because the life on this earth began with the kingdom movement and it will end with the kingdom movement. Somebody say amen. This earth, God's intent and plan began with the kingdom movement. Even Jesus' ministry began with kingdom, and it entered with kingdom like we heard last night. And I'm going to build on what we heard last night from our speakers. They laid the foundation, and we are going to go one step further. I promise you, by the end of today, there's something supernatural will happen in your life. There will be a shift, there will be a change, but when that change happens, we have to be willing to change the way we do things. What happens with us, we hear new things, then we go back and do the same old thing. Come on, somebody. Because you know, if we keep doing the same thing we always did, what happens? We get the same thing we always got. So if we want something new, we have to do something new. Turn to the person sitting next to you and say, we have to do something new. We have to do things differently. The world is waiting for us. God is waiting for us. I plead with you, brothers and sisters. We think we are waiting on God, but on behalf of God, let me tell you, He's been waiting for us to catch up with His dream and plan. But we have been like the toys that I used to buy when I was a kid. How many of you remember a toy? You know, you just key it and you set it up. It will just clap the hands and do the thing. Then after a few seconds, it will unwind. Then you wind it again. Then you set it up there. It will do the same thing. That is the way the church has been operating for more than 150 years. We know how to key those things, and we set it up, and we just do the same thing. Then we go back home, then we come back again, we do the same thing again. The Holy Spirit is saying, change is coming to the body of Christ. And you and I are part of that change. So if we are going to catch up with God's plan in the season we are in, we have to understand three things. Please, please, please pay attention. If somebody coming and sitting, let them come and sit. You pay attention here, okay? Because I don't want you to miss this. You came here, took leave, spent money to be here at this training, right? You didn't come to look at people, oh, who's coming, what they're wearing, look at their earring, their glasses. No, you paid a lot of money and separated 3 or 4 days of your life, traveled all the way from all kinds of places to learn something, and the Holy Spirit wants to impart something to you. So three things the Holy Spirit wants us to learn if you are going to make progress, if you are going to fulfill your destiny. We need to understand three things in this season. Number one is about the kingdom. What is the kingdom? How does it operate and function? That is the number one thing we have to understand in this season, because there are more and more talk on the kingdom on this earth now more than ever. How many of you can sense that? Wherever I go, people are talking about kingdom. Even though they don't know what it is, they're still saying the kingdom. Second thing we need to understand, if we are going to have victory in our life, we have to understand how to operate and function in the court of heaven. Court, like a legal court. You go to court when you have a problem. If we are going to function effectively in the season, we have to understand how to operate and function in the court of heaven. What do I mean by that? See, President Trump has the legal right to be the president of this country, right? Because the people gave it to him. If you shout and spit at him, he's not going to resign, right? Because we gave him the right. The citizens of this country gave him the right. Whatever the devil is doing, he does only if he has a legal right to do. Somebody gave him the right. If he doesn't have the right, he will not do it. So Jesus shared a parable in Luke chapter 18 about prayer, which is familiar to us. There was a widow who had an issue. She had an enemy. Do you know what she did? She went to the judge. There is no scripture in Luke 18. This widow went to talk to her adversary. She only talked to the judge. She came before the judge to present her case, because she knew unless the judge issues her verdict, there's no use of going to the adversary, because the adversary has legal right to operate in what he's doing. So she went to the judge and she kept bothering that judge. Finally, that judge gave her the verdict. And when the judge issues the verdict, you have the victory, and your adversary loses the ground to operate ever again. We have been shouting and spitting at the enemy for too long without receiving the verdict from the judge. When you receive the verdict from the judge, your adversary loses the ground to stand and oppose you. That's why you operate in the court of heaven. There's a court in heaven. In Daniel chapter 7, we read about courts were open, books were open, because the enemy is the accuser, right? He's the accuser of the brethren. What is he accusing about? He needs something to accuse about what we did, what our ancestors did. He's constantly accusing against us in the presence of God. Lord, you cannot answer the prayer of this sister. You cannot answer for this brother. Because, see this accusation I have? So you go to the court to undo that accusation. The moment you undo that accusation, the judge will release your verdict and you walk out of the court victoriously. You never have to talk to the adversary ever again. So our prayers have to change. Oh my Lord, my God. The way we pray has to change. This is not my words. Jesus put that parable in Luke 18. There is a time to speak to the adversary, but before you get the verdict from the judge, we have no right to talk to our enemy, because he has got the legal right. Just because we tell President Buhari, we shout and spit, he's not going to leave his office. The only way to take him out is through the court. Legally. That is the way. See, the enemy, devil, is the most legalist thing in the entire universe. Everything he does, he has a legal way of doing it. Because he has no right. Even to touch you, he has to go to the presence of God to get permission from God the Father. That's what happened to Job. In the book of Job, we read, you know, Satan went to presence of God. What are you doing, devil? I have been walking to and fro on the earth looking for somebody that I can devour. Somebody speaking unbelief. Somebody speaking, saying something negative. I'm going to get them. Because I get a legal right to be in their life. Because every word you speak, you're activating something in the supernatural. Either demonic world or God's world. Every word you speak, you are empowering God's kingdom or you're empowering the demonic kingdom. Why the demonic kingdom looks so powerful? Because of the words that we have been speaking for thousands of years. We empowered the demonic kingdom when he had no legal right to operate on the earth. Because Jesus defeated him, took his authority, stripped him from every legal right he had. But men gave it back to him just like Adam did in Genesis. So the third thing we need to understand. One is we have to understand God's kingdom. Second one is we have to know how to operate and function in the court of heaven. I wish I had 3 days to explain about that. How to go to the court in heaven. There's teachings about that. Please listen on YouTube. We need to understand in this season about the courts of heaven. The third thing we have to understand is if you are going to see God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we have to learn how to access heaven. How to access heaven. So we are all waiting to go to heaven. Do you know you can visit heaven right now? After the teaching, at this prayer, I'm going to activate you. We are going to ascend to heaven to see what is happening there. Unless you can see what is happening there, you cannot make it happen it on the earth. My sister, you prayed something powerful this morning. See, we have been operating in the feeling realm for so long. We want to feel the presence of God. God didn't ask Jeremiah, what do you feel today? There's no feeling in the Bible. God never asked anybody, how do you feel, brother? See, we have been operating as a church for 2,000 years, almost, in the feeling realm. See, from the feeling, we have to go to the next realm called knowing. From knowing, we have to go to the next step called seeing. From seeing, we have to go to the next level, manifesting. Somebody say amen. See, God begins with seeing, not by feeling. Why do we worship 45 minutes every time we meet? Because we want to feel the presence of God. What if we already know the presence of God is already in our midst when we came together? Because we are waiting for the feeling. You know what Bible calls the feeling Christians? You guys tell me, what the Bible calls the feeling Christian who walk by feeling? Carnal Christians or baby Christians. We have been operating in the baby realm for 60, 70 years. We never went from feeling to knowing. The moment you know God is with you 24/7, that God lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It will revolutionize your life forever. You don't need to sing for another 45 minutes. The moment you walk in here, God will manifest. Because you carry him. You understand what I'm saying? Are we really willing to change the way we operate? Do we need to go to the next level? Do we need to see the change on this earth? Then we have to change the way the body of Christ is operating, because the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not the children of God, but the sons of God. We have so many children, but we have few sons and daughters. We have been taking care of children in our church. Children's ministry, that's what we do. We think children's ministry is on the other side. No, the children's ministry is right here. 3,000 people on a Sunday morning, they all come to feel the presence of God. Without knowing, they already carried the presence of God when they came in. They didn't know how to activate it because nobody taught them how to. You have been carrying Christ, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in you for 50, 60, 70 years, but nobody taught us how to release it. And that's the problem. The world is going the way it is going. Not because God is not doing anything. As I said, God has been waiting for you and I. See, you are seated in Christ Jesus right now. Where? In the heavenly places, not when you die. You are seated in Him. So whatever He does, you can do. Wherever He goes, you can go in the Spirit. And you can visit where you are seated. Oh my Lord, maybe this is too much for you. Maybe I will go to the first grade. Jesus loves you. God bless you. Yeah, I'm going to lay hands on you. And just imagine with me, you are seated in Christ right now. Just imagine with your imagination that you are seated in Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. They are under you. It hurts me when pastors stand up here and say, oh, we are going to defeat the devil after this meeting. No, devil was defeated 2,000 years ago. Don't say hurtful things to Jesus from the pulpit. Please, don't say those kind of nonsense. It hurt him because you're invalidating what he did on the cross. You are not the one who is defeating the devil. Jesus did it for us. And you are seated in Him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers right now. But the enemy wants to mess you up through circumstances. So you have no time to think about where you're really seated. You're always caught up with some nitty-gritty things that is going on in your life. You're so worried, you're so depressed, you are so tensed and stressed, and you have no time to think about even who you really are and who you carry. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Then what is the problem? Oh, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Something is happening in the Spirit. There's a shift happening in your spirit, in your mind. Religious strongholds are coming down in Jesus' name. See, religion and kingdom can never work together. Either kingdom or religion, they both won't go together. You cannot mix them together. Either you are part of the greatest discovery next to salvation that happened in my life was to discover God's kingdom. Just because you come to church on a Sunday morning, that doesn't mean you are in God's kingdom. I grew up in church for 25 years, Pentecostal church, never heard a message on the kingdom. Jesus preached about born again only once. He preached about church 2 times, but he preached about the kingdom more than 100 times. So we preach about 100 times what he preached once, and we preach about what he preached 100 times once. That's our problem. Why the message of the kingdom was so important to him? He was not running around trying to get everybody saved. You know, brother, you had to get saved. I am Jesus. I'm going to save you. I want you to go to heaven when you die. You don't see one single scripture like that in the entire 4 Gospels. Jesus never asked anybody if they want to go to heaven. If you can prove it to me, I will put this microphone right now down and I will never preach again. The apostles never gave an altar call to anybody to go to heaven, to lift their hands to go to heaven in the book of Acts, in the entire book of Acts. And that really shocked my religious goosebump. Why he preached the kingdom message more than the church and born again? Because that's what we lost. God created man to live in his kingdom. What did Adam lose when he fell? You tell me. What did he lose? Pardon? His position with God? What did he lose when he disobeyed? The kingdom? Eternal life? His presence? His membership in the kingdom. What else? Authority. Fellowship with God. Intimacy with God. Where did Adam fell from? Heaven. He was on earth. He was in the garden. Adam didn't fall from heaven. Adam was created to live on this earth forever and forever and forever. That was God's original plan, and he will never change his mind. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me say this. I want you to write this down. My purpose is connected to planet Earth forever and forever. In big letter, write it down. Big alphabet. My purpose is connected to planet Earth for now and forever and forever. Does that mean 5 minutes? Okay, thank you. See, if you die today, you'll go to heaven. Do you know what you'll be doing in heaven? You'll be waiting there until you can come back right here. Whether this earth or the new earth, your purpose is connected to planet Earth now and forever, and God will never change his mind about it. Doesn't matter how much you jump up and down, how much you spit and scream, God will not ever change his mind. And we have been taught by the religious spirit, we are going to go to heaven, we'll be singing and dancing and worshiping there forever, for 1,000 years, 10,000 years. It is not in the Bible. You know where they came from? There should be a book behind this pews called a hymn book. Have you seen those hymn books? Most of our doctrines came from those hymn books, not from the Bible. Oh, Holy Spirit of God. What will Adam and his children be doing if he didn't fall right now? If Adam never made a mistake, he didn't disobey, he didn't sin, where he will be, what he will be doing right now? His children, 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 children. Where? Where? Say that again. Where? So once you are saved from Adam's sin, what you should be doing right now? See, I can put my microphone down now. I'm done. At least one person got it, two person got it. See, the salvation came because of the fall, right? If Adam didn't fall, there's no need of Jesus coming, dying, shedding the blood, no cross, none of those things was needed. So once you are saved, Jesus came to redeem, restore what Adam lost. That's the whole purpose he came. So once you are saved, you should be going back to your original assignment. And that's what we should have begun in our Sunday school lesson 70 years ago or 100 years ago. We would have turned this world upside down by now. But we keep going from one meeting to another meeting for what? To feel something. I end that feeling stage today in Jesus' name. And I invite to enter into the knowing stage. Then knowing stage, you're going to enter into the seeing stage. From the seeing stage, you're going to enter into the manifesting the kingdom on this earth stage. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit of God. That's why when God does something through somebody, he always teaches them to see. He took Moses up into the mountain. What did he see? He didn't take him up there to feel. He showed them something. Moses saw the plan of tabernacle, how the tabernacles were built in heaven. John, apostle, saw heaven. He didn't feel anything. He saw heaven and how what things were done there. And you and I are going to ascend to heaven to see something. Unless you can see, you cannot manifest. I love the theme of this conference, as it is in heaven, so be on earth. I got it, brother. I'm going to end it right now. So unless we can see what is happening on the earth, we cannot manifest. No, unless we can see what is happening in heaven, we cannot manifest on the earth. Are you ready to see? Are you ready to know? Are you ready to manifest? Please stand up with me. We are going to pray. Thank you, Father. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not see, not feel the kingdom. Listen to me, my saints. See, that's the way Jesus begins. Your salvation begins with seeing, not feeling. He told Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will not. And we have been waiting to feel. Come out of your feeling right now. Into seeing stage. That's the beginning of kingdom life, is the seeing stage. So I want you to close your eyes and shut everything you see from your natural mind, your problems, your experiences, your pain, and everything that you came with. Everything that you're concerned about, your children, your husband, your family, your finances. And ask the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of your spirit. And tell Father, Father, I want to see. Say this after me. Father, I want to see. Isaiah saw the throne of God. He didn't feel it. He saw it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for the spirit of revelation. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom. I thank you for the spirit of understanding. I thank you for giving us the kingdom. I thank you for your grace. Woo! Say this after me. I release the kingdom of God to Washington, D.C., to the United States. I release kingdom. kingdom government to Washington, D.C. I release the ecclesia of God to Washington, D.C., to United States, over my life, in Jesus Christ's holy name. Say this after me. Father, I activate the ability to see into the Spirit in where I am seated. See, when Adam sinned, he lost the ability to see. He saw his nakedness. He couldn't see God. If you are so conscious of your weakness, your failures, your nakedness, that means the enemy has really took advantage of your capacity to see. And you're only seeing what the enemy wants you to see. You're not seeing what God wants you to see. Put your hands on your eyes, please. Rekenera boshe. Tibanera kosoro kaba. Father, say this after me. Father, open my eyes. Cleanse my eyes to see your Spirit and what you are doing in heaven so I can manifest it on the earth. Father, deliver my eyes from every spirit of adultery. In Jesus Christ's holy name. Let me see, Father. Let me see your glory. Forgive me, Father, for living in the feeling stage all these years. Take me to the knowing stage. Take me to the seeing stage so I can manifest your will on this earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your patience. Long suffering with me. I am ready now. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand, please. Open.